Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. That's what all of my friends were saying for that terrible week. I remember that week like it was yesterday, but let's not start in the middle of the story. Let's go back only a couple of years to the beginning of the story. I walked with Jesus for 3 years. I heard everything that he said, and I saw all of the miracles that he did. And then the terrible week happened. On Thursday, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and gave it to all of us, saying, "This is my body." He then took wine, again gave thanks, and gave it to us, saying, "This is my blood of a new covenant for you." I saw Judas leave, and I heard that a couple hours later he came back and betrayed Jesus with a kiss. I heard they took Jesus away as a common prisoner. I heard that he was hanging on that cursed tree. John told me that when Jesus died, one of the Roman soldiers took the spear and rammed it up Jesus' side. I was so grief-stricken by all that I had seen and heard those couple of hours that I couldn't stand to be with my friends anymore, so I went off by myself. And then Sunday came. And all of my friends went from being grief-stricken as I was to saying craziness. They were saying that Jesus was alive and that they had seen him themselves. And I told them I would never believe unless I put my finger in his wrist and my hand in his side. And then they gave me the nickname that has lasted for centuries. They told me, "Thomas, you need to stop doubting." Doubting Thomas. I hate that nickname. Why does one event of my life determine what everyone thinks of the entirety of my life? But even though I was so grief-stricken and all of my friends were saying I was doubting, you don't just abandon your friends. So I continued to hang out with them. And then next Sunday came. We were all hanging out. It was a locked room, fantastic party, even though the Jews were kind of people to be afraid of. And then Jesus comes into the middle of all of this out of nowhere, looks at all of us, but looks me dead in the eyes. He says, "Thomas, come here. Put your finger in my wrist and your hand in my side." When you hang out with someone, and when you live with someone for 3 years, you know all of their mannerisms, you know all of their speaking, you know their voice, you know who they are. And so when I heard Jesus' voice and I saw him face to face, I knew I did not need to put my fingers in his wrist and his hand in his side. I knew that he was alive. And so I fell down and I worshiped. My friends gave me the nickname of Doubting Thomas. I wish they had given me the nickname Thomas the Realist. Because realistically, people don't rise from the dead, and yet Jesus was right there. And I saw him face to face. So I fell down and I worshiped him and I said, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus sees this and tells me, "Thomas, get up." And then he says something absolutely crazy. He says, "Thomas, you believe because you have seen? Blessed are they who have not seen and yet still believe." Wait, let me get this completely right because I'm kind of baffled by this. My friends and I have walked the roads of Israel with you for 3 years. We have heard all of the sermons and parables that you have taught. We've seen all of the miraculous things that you have done, from turning water into wine to walking on water, from healings to raising people from the dead. We've seen all of this. And you are saying all of the people who haven't experienced this They're the blessed ones? What? But when Jesus says something, his mind is made up, and there is no changing it. Fast forward a couple more weeks, and we see Jesus ascend into heaven. All of us were kind of confused at this point, because Jesus said that the kingdom of God was coming, and that he was coming to bring it about. So, where is he? And as we are all standing, watching, waiting for Jesus to come back and bring this kingdom, a few angels come to us and say, why are you looking up to heaven, waiting for Jesus to come back when there's work to do here? Realistically, I knew that I could not fight with angels, so I packed my bags. I went east to the edge of the known world. I went to India. And in India, I saw people all over the place who were looking for something, anyone, that could save them. So I told them about Jesus. And as they were coming to faith, what Jesus said all of those weeks prior suddenly made sense. Blessed are they who have not seen and yet still believe. Looking around here today, I feel almost at home as I did in India so many years ago. I see all of you and you look exactly like the Indians because guess what? You are exactly like them. You haven't seen Jesus as I have, and yet you still believe. In India, I trained many pastors and these pastors and I baptized so many people. You probably don't remember your baptism because you were just infants, and yet you still believe in this life-saving water. Now, from my point of view, I don't want to put words in my Lord's mouth because he's kind of more amazing than I am. But from my perspective, Thomas the Realist, realistically, more blessed are you who have not seen and yet still believe. You live in an age of skepticism. You haven't walked the dusty roads of Israel as I have with Jesus right by my side. You haven't heard all of the signs and parables and sermons that came from Jesus' mouth as I have. You haven't seen the miraculous things that he did from raising people from the dead to walking on water, as I have. And as my brother and fellow apostle John wrote, we, the disciples, witnessed many more things than are written in the Gospels. And yet, going back to that terrible week, I couldn't believe, even though I had seen all of these things, I had walked with Jesus, and I had heard all that he said. I was so grief-stricken that it didn't matter that Jesus said he would rise from the dead. I couldn't believe that, even though when Jesus says something, his mind is made up, and there is no changing it. And yet you still believe, even though you haven't experienced that. So yes, more blessed are you who have not seen and yet still believe. Going back and remembering that terrible week, it's really painful because not only was I doubting Thomas, I was unbelieving Thomas. I did not deserve to be in the company of brothers that were Christians. And yet I was there anyway. And seeing Jesus face to face, hearing his voice and hearing all that he was saying, I fell down and I worshipped, yes, but not only that, I confessed. I confessed with all of my Christian brothers, except, no, I confessed with the entire Christian church that Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia.